Hello, this is Category 5 for Coffee Break. Good afternoon or morning or wherever it is in your part of the world. Welcome. We have Peter up on the left hand, my top left hand, wherever I am. So, Peter, give us a wave, will you? There we go. Hi, Peter. Give us a wave, Solbu. All right, then don't. Oh, there we go. Thank you, Solbu. And I'm BP9. Good morning, afternoon, whatever it is. So let's see, what fun have I had? I fell into the YouTube rabbit hole this weekend. Hello, Lanceman. How are you, sir?
Good.
Nice sunshine.
Yeah. It's actually creating a lot of glare on the.
It's fine. It's okay. There you go. Much better. Now we can't see you. It's all good. Don't worry about it. It's all good. We can see your face fine. That's the important thing. Don't worry about it. It's all right. It's okay. Oh, jeez. It's okay.
No,
there we go. That works. That works. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much. I was just saying we literally just started the meeting. So I was just saying that I fell into the YouTube rabbit hole. And Solbu, you might know this group. I don't know, but I found a guy in a group called Wintergarten. I don't know if you're familiar with them. No, they're from Sweden, not Norway. So probably not. You probably wouldn't know them. But I don't know whether you've ever heard of Anna Music. Is this something you've seen heard of? You have?
I've heard of it.
So, Doug, with Anna Music, it's all, well, you see the T-shirt, right? It's all a computer-generated animation, right? And the whole idea is that before the note strikes, the animation kicks off the movement of the machine so that the note strikes just as the striker hits the key or whatever the case may be, right? So this group called Wintergarten, or at least the fellow who I don't recall his name at the moment, but at least the fellow who heads up that group, built a marble machine that does pretty much what, you know, these guys are trying to do in animation. It's crazy. It's taken him years to build the thing. It really is a Rube Goldberg machine. It's crazy. But it seems to be working. So I'll put links to both of those down in the show notes so that you can see what I'm talking about. I've put links to both Anna Music and to Wintergarden. It's quite amazing. It's fun to watch. It's painful to watch sometimes because he goes through so much design and engineering to try and make the machine work, and it's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, so the other thing I got to play with is a new arrival. No, this is not a Model 100. I know you've seen the Model 100 before. This is a, let me see if I can focus on it. There it is. Let me see. That's the wrong way. There we go.
I see Tandy.
It's a Tandy WP2, word processor 2.
Oh, okay.
It's focused primarily on writing is what it's there for. And that's all I ever wanted the Model 100 for, right, was to take notes. The biggest problem with the Model 100 was that it was it only allowed 40 characters by 4 lines. So you really couldn't see very much on the screen at all. You couldn't see much of the document that you were, or the file that you were typing into. This does 80 characters across by 8 lines down. So it's much more usable screen. The characters, obviously, are a lot smaller, but still easy to read. So I'm really pleased with it. I've only had it a few days, so I'm still getting used to it, still figuring it out. But yeah, it looks like it'll work. What I'm trying to find is something that I can carry around. It's still fairly large to carry around, but I think it's probably the smallest form factor that you can have for the kind of use case that I'm thinking of, and that is that something to carry around to take notes on that I don't write down and then have to transcribe, right? So, I mean, I'll do it either way. But it works with that. See if you can...
That looked like a car radio.
A car radio? No.
It is
a disk drive. Yep. Now that is a cardboard keeper to keep the heads protected while you're traveling.
He looks like a comic Commodore 1 Type 1 similar design.
It's probably from that vintage. This is a 19. I don't know if it says when it was 70, built.
70 or 80.
No, it'll be the 80s or 90s. It won't be. It certainly won't be the 70s, because the Model 100 didn't come into being until 80s, mid to late 80s or something.
In the 70s, I don't think they'd started using drives yet. They were still using magnetic tape.
They may have been using 8-inch drives.
Yeah, that's right.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Ones we used to throw around each other.
Oh, nice. Now, I like to treat my media a little more with a little more respect than that, Peter.
but we were at work doing that, you know. Obviously, we had the boards, yeah.
Nice. These are 3.5-inch floppy disk drives. You want to guess how much you could store on one of these things?
Maybe 100
megabytes. No, 1.4 megabytes.
And what did you say, Solbu?
300 something k.
There was actually, you're the closest out of all of them.
700.
I know. Doug, you said it was Peter said 1.4 meg, right?
Yeah.
Well, this thing was built well before that standard was in place. This holds 200 kilobytes.
Oh, wow.
And this is the TPDD, whatever it is, 2. This is the second revision. The first revision looks exactly the same, but only holds 100 megabytes.
Oh, man.
I remember 10 years ago. I heard there was an article in one of the local papers in my county about the radar installations, and they said in part of the article that it was an article about old storage media and about floppy drives, and they said that all of the software that was running the military radar installations in Norway, all the software fitted on one of yours 200 something k
drive. Sure. And the same thing was true for the Apollo space flights as well. These things that I'm showing off had more power than those computers in the that were in the Apollo spacecraft. But Peter, I'm going to give you another giggle because I'm going to show this again. Stop it, Peter. Stop it, Peter. Don't say anything.
You have to have my Jewish roots. You have to have my Jewish roots with that.
This replaces the disk drive that I just showed you, and it lets you store the files on a dinky little SD card. that you can just transfer back. I showed you this last week, so I don't have to belabor it. But there you go. That's my collection. We'll see how that works. Let's see. A few weeks ago, I talked about a client server that I was working on, a client server application that I was working on, and I was trying to use a crypto library to encrypt traffic and to sign the traffic. Well, in my tests, I couldn't make it work every time, and that's still true. I still can't make it work every single time. So it's even running the tests exactly the same way as their test harness works. So I don't know how their test harness survives it how it passes every time, unless they just don't run it over and over and over again. So, you know, it might work, I don't know, 60% of the time, something like that. So I've finally given up on gcrypt, and now I'm going to try and use, and I apologize in advance if I don't pronounce this correctly, because apparently if you call it GNU, then you're a newbie. Solbu, want to weigh in on that? is that true?
I know that the name of the GNU system that Stallman launched in the 1980s, he on purpose picked the name GNU because it was the funniest, in his opinion, it was the funniest word in the English dictionary, because the G is supposed to be silent.
Okay. So I didn't even know that GNU was a real word.
It is a real word, and they had in the 60s they had
not know that, Peter.
It's an animal, yeah.
Okay. I think it's also known as the GNU is also known as the wildebeest.
Wildebeest.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Peter?
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Oh, I did not know. I did not know that. I'm going to have to write that down.
And in the 60s, there was a few songs written about the GNU, because of the English dictionary says that GNU is supposed to be pronounced new. And okay. Stallman used that word because to say that something is not a Unix. And GNU is a...
GNU is not Unix, as I thought that was what the acronym was.
Yeah. And it's also a word at the same time. So
I did not know it was a word. I simply assumed it was an acronym.
In the first 10 years, when they were meeting up, all the developers, they would sometimes ask, what's new? He had a talk in Norway in 2005, and he told this story, and he said that the joke is not working so much anymore because it's not so new.
Yeah. Oh. You could play on that word over and over and over again, couldn't you? Yeah. It's crazy.
And he talked often in his talks about in the 60s. It was a song by two people who were the reason he chose that word, and it's called the GNU song, and it's by Flanders and Swan, who were
one was a cripple, he was in a wheelchair, I used to like him,
So I'll have to get you to send that to me in chat, Solbu, so I can put it in the show notes. I didn't catch the group name, the name of the group. So it'd be easier just to type it out.
But yeah.
It'd be easier just to put it in the Discord, if you wouldn't mind. So I can spell it correctly when I put it in the show notes.
Flanders,
like in Flanders, like in Holland?
Yeah.
Okay.
With that one on the end.
Okay. So GNU TLS, and again, I'm sorry if I did not pronounce that correctly. You'll just have to put up with my newbie pronunciation. But what I'm trying to do is to make it so that when a client contacts the server, it's encrypted over TLS, which that's the main aim, is to encrypt that communication. But I also understand that it's possible to identify who it is that's making the request by sending either an ID or a key or a private key. And I'm looking at Task Warrior at the moment because I'm using that, you know, every day, and it uses exactly this process. But as far as I can tell, I'm digging in the source code, and as far as I can tell, although you generate a private key, I can't see how the server uses that private, or rather the public key, because the client would have to have the private key and the server would have to have the public key. And theoretically, the two should allow for the identification of the user. I'm still working through that code to figure out how it works. There's also an ID, an actual user ID or a username passed as well. And it might be that that or some sort of ID is what identifies the user. If that's true, then I'm not as happy that, as I thought I was with being able to identify the user. I'm still looking at that, still figuring out how that fits together. So I was going to ask you, Solbu, about running your own mail server, not the details of it, but the advantages of it, because way back when, in a few companies ago that I worked for, I actually stood up a mail server for the company, and I was surprised, shocked even, at how much was exposed in the logging of the mail server. And I can just imagine how much just browsing the mail server logs, how much an internet provider can glean from yourself just by browsing the mail server logs. It's scary. Yeah. Is that why you're running your own mail server?
No. The reason that I'm running my own mail server is that I control the mail storage. And also that I can have as many email addresses as I want, and I can share can give other people access, but it's that I am controlling the server who hosts the mail. That is the main reason.
Is it difficult to maintain?
No, and also one of the biggest advantages of running your own mail server is that no one can kick you out because you said something.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's an
article last this week in Ars Technica, I think, about someone who, after being using Gmail for 15 years, he was banned for something, and he appealed, and the ban stayed, and he lost all access to all his mail that he has been had for 15 years. And he also used their photo storage service, and he also lost access to all of his a lot of his photo albums.
So, wow!
And if you're running your own mail server, Gmail can't kick you out.
Yes. Wait, what? Say that again.
If you are running your own mail server, Gmail cannot kick you out.
Oh! I thought you said Gmail can kick you out. Oh, what? Wait, no. No, it's yours. So are you running the mail server? You're running it locally at your location.
Yeah.
And are you treating it like webmail? Do you log into it with a browser?
No, I use pop email. But I can set up I have a server together with my friend Eric, who was with us for two coffee breaks half a year ago. Mm-hmm. We have a server in a data center, and there we are providing webmail for clients. And all the clients are people that one or both of us personally know. So we have full control over who gets access.
Yeah, I don't think many people use POP anymore. Most folks are using web-based mail now, either Gmail or whatever's available, or through their own internet provider. Would you agree with that? Or I guess the old folks like us would use POP. I use POP all the time because I'd rather have all my mail local.
There is three ways to use email. Most people today, they are logging in via a browser. Like my friend Eric, he uses IMAP, where the mail is stored at the mail server. And then he have the same email across all of his devices.
That's the point of that, though, is that you have to have access to your own mail server if you want to use IMAP from your phone or your tablet and you're away from your location, right? You're away from the house or wherever the machine is. You'd have to be able to connect into your device from outside. Otherwise, you lose access.
I have deliberately chosen to only have access inside the house. The mail comes in, but in order for me to check the email, I have to be at home.
Yes.
That is a deliberate decision by me.
And that's fine. Yeah. I get that. And you have to decide for yourself if that's something you want to put up with by running your own mail server.
Yeah, and I also use an old non-smartphone. When I leave the house, I also leave the internet behind, and that is a deliberate decision. I don't want the internet.
I have a Trio around here somewhere that has... It's not a. I've got various Palm devices all over the place, but I have a Trio floating around somewhere that finally bit the dust, and it checks mail too. I don't remember if it does IMAP or not, but it certainly does POP. So, let's let the other folks have a go because we're running out of time already. Can you believe that, Peter? What sort of trouble have you been getting into?
Hold on. We had a bomb scare.
A bomb scare?
In the village, yeah.
Oh, boy.
But they put a pipe bomb, but they put it on the wrong car. That's not a joke. That is what happened. We had the police, everything, bomb squad, the army, the lot.
Are you okay? Is everyone... At your place, okay?
Yeah, we're all right. Okay. Yeah. But okay. I couldn't get a nurse, and I needed to be cleaned out. That's the problem. And she's not Protestant. She's from the other side. She's quite nice. And so I was trying to tell her to go around the back way. This plane had to go around the back way as well. So it went, but they blocked both ends up. It is. But I say that, you know, you understand that.
Well, I'm glad you're all okay. Good.
It's a bit of a turf war between the in the village, between local idiots, local drugs, you know. Drugs involved, weren't anymore.
Right. Okay.
And I worked my first VZL today, the other day.
ZL, New Zealand?
Yeah.
Nice.
But you like this one.
Well, the sunspots are starting to get more active, so you should be
40 something or something. If you go to QRZ.com and you put in ZL3SV, he's got write that down. Go on, type it down.
ZL3SV.
Yeah, it's got.
I'm using my fountain pen to write it down. Because, you know, I'm old school.
He's got a multiple halfway, which is 640 metres long, which is about half a mile.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And the gain the gain is unbelievable.
Nice.
It's something like 19 dBs.
They're not fountain pens, Solbu, are they?
No. But not many people use this anymore either, so.
I can do the same, see? I can add as many pens as you want, because look at this. Oh, there's only one in there. I had a whole half a dozen.
Hold on. And somehow 19 EVs. It's up at 200 feet, and it slants down 640 meters. It's 32 weight down to 120 meters.
Wow.
It was from 160 up to 2 meters, and again, wow, absolute increases, very big.
Okay. I've not been on HF for a long time, Peter, so I don't know how long it'll be before I get back on. So.
And the other thing, I found a new mode. Everybody might be interested in programming. Basically, what it does is it uses a 360-degree clock, and every 45 degrees, it changes the number. So the number starts at 0, it'd be 0, 0, 0. And the next one, 45 degrees phase shift, will be 0, 0, 1, etc. Wow. 2, 3, 4. And what you do is when you write a text file, you just change the phase of the.
We've got to start closing it out, Peter.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right, Doug. You haven't had a chance to talk yet. What are you up to?
I have a Raspberry Pi that I set up as a sort of an entertainment server.
Ooh, did you get you a new 400 Raspberry Pi 400?
No, it's a Raspberry Pi 3.
Oh, nice. Okay. And as an entertainment, what, you're running Plex on it or something?
What's that?
You're running Plex on it or so?
No, it's Raspbian.
Okay.
I do have Plex, but I don't have anything to play on Plex.
Okay.
I don't have a drive with movies on it or anything like that. Maybe one day I'll get around working them.
Once you go Plex, you'll never go back. I enjoy it. I like it a lot. Although I have not signed up for the Plex account because so far I don't see the advantage. So.
Is it free still?
What's that?
Is it free still?
It's free for local use, but if you pay for a Plex account, which apparently this past Good Friday, this past Black Friday deal, you can get it at a bit of a discount. But what it means is it lets you access your Plex server from outside of your own network. I don't see any advantage to doing that, so I don't see any reason to do it.
One advantage is that
I just take one quick thing. I went to the roll today.
You've got to be real quick because I'm about to shut us down.
I went to the roll and I couldn't get anybody to take me, and it cost me £80 to go, or $80 or whatever it was. And I've made a complaint to the hospital that I can't keep affording to do this on a regular bloody basis.
Yeah.
And so I almost didn't go. I was not very well before it. Mm-hmm. And we found out the reason was because my valve failed. I just thought to tell you, I'm all right now because it got cleaned.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're okay.
But it's just the expense is a bit too much.
You need to get the pressure washer in there, Peter, and get it all cleaned out. So.
No, they have to give me a new one. They have to give me a new one because it failed. It actually failed.
Oh, boy.
The old lock goes. The inch goes.
To think.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's been 30 minutes, folks, so it's time to close this party down. So thank you all. Thoroughly enjoyed it, as always, and enjoyed the insight for a lot of the programs and the chat. Have a good day, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.